As you're turning in your Bibles to John chapter 19, the hymn we just sang together is very succinctly brings together all these common threads that the finishing work of Jesus Christ, when he says it is finished, it's from that word of Jesus that we draw all our comfort. That's the fountain from which we find all of our blessings, that Christ finished the work that was set before him. So John chapter 19 is where we find our text, and actually the text is the same words that we considered last week, but the second time that Jesus speaks in these words. So John 19, verses 28 through 30. And again, that's found on page 1051, John chapter 19 at verse 28. John 19, verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And that's as far as reading in God's Word. May God add the blessing of His increase upon the preaching of it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever been distracted? Has your attention ever been so divided that you forgot something which you shouldn't have forgotten? I remember a few years back driving from Iowa after a classes meeting, driving from Iowa back to Chicago, driving with a colleague of mine, and we're traveling down the interstate, and suddenly we notice that we are on the brink of empty. We had almost run out of gas in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, because we were distracted. We're distracted by the conversation, and we almost were stuck on the side of the road, getting distracted so that we no longer are conscious of all of the requirements, all of the moving pieces around us can get us in trouble. Think of the person who's driving their car, busy looking at their phone, not paying attention to the road, and they get in a car wreck. But when it comes to the ministry and to the work of Jesus Christ, was he ever so busy? Was he ever distracted to the point where he neglected his work? Did Jesus ever, at the end of his ministry, did he look back and say, "Oh, I forgot to do something. I neglected to do the work that was set before me"? Well, today we see that as we come to the sixth saying of Jesus Christ, the sixth of seven, Jesus says, "It is finished." And in saying "it is finished," he is bringing to our mind and he's comforting our hearts by clearly teaching what was set before him, the task that was set before him, has been completed. It is finished. On this Palm Sunday, we see the perfect and completed work of our Savior Jesus Christ. With this theme, Jesus Christ completed all aspects of his earthly ministry for the sake of our comfort and salvation. I'll say that one more time. Jesus finished all aspects of his earthly ministry for the sake of our comfort and our salvation. If we call the entering of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, if we call that a triumphant entry, in what way is Jesus triumphing? How is he the triumphal king at the end of his earthly ministry? Well, in our first point, then, we consider that Jesus had a completely focused view of his work. Why did Jesus come to earth? What was his purpose? What was the plan set before him? What was it necessary for him to do? What was the goal of his life? The fact is, Jesus had a completely focused view, a perfect understanding of what was set before him, of the road that he must walk. We as earthly, fallen, finite creatures sometimes question our purpose. We question our calling. Perhaps you had this when you were in college. You wrestled, what line of work am I to pursue? And sometimes when people get to their middle age, they have their middle-aged crisis. What have I accomplished thus far in my life? What have I done with my life thus far? Well, Jesus never had a moment of identity crisis. Jesus never had a point in his life when he thought, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. I'm not sure if I'm fulfilling my work. Earlier, we read this in John 4, verse 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me, to accomplish my Father's work here on earth. So at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he was conscious of the fact that his food, his work, his path, his road was to obey his Father's will and to accomplish his Father's work, to obey and to accomplish. To obey everything the Father set before him, to obey the active, in his active obedience, to obey the commandments of God, perfectly keeping the law of the Lord from beginning to end, but also in accomplishing, in submitting to the passive obedience, the suffering, drinking of the cup of God's wrath. So Jesus, in his earthly ministry, acknowledged that his task, his road, was to obey and accomplish his life's mission, to bring glory to his Father, to obey his Father's will, and to accomplish his Father's work. So at the end of Jesus' ministry, we ask ourselves the question, was he successful? Did he do what was necessary? Did he arrive at the destination? Did he, in his perfect obedience, keep his Father's commandments? And did he, in his passive obedience and his suffering, did he carry out his Father's will? Well, if you still have your Bibles open to the book of John, turn back two chapters there to John 17. This is in the high priestly prayer. John 17, we're going to be reading verses 4 through 8. John 17, this is on the cusp of his being arrested and hauled to trial. John 17, Jesus is praying to his Father. John 17, verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you have, those you gave me out of this world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. At the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus prays, and in his prayer he confesses, I have done the work that you sent me to do. I have brought you glory. I have obeyed your will. I have revealed your word to my disciples, to your people. And they have accepted it and believed it. So the work that Jesus acknowledges that he has completed, that he has fulfilled, was to bring glory to his Father and to reveal the truth of God's word. But there is more to the will of the Father. What was the will of the Father for his Son? Acts 2 verse 23 puts it this way. Jesus was delivered up by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. On Pentecost Sunday, it is acknowledged, Peter is acknowledging that Jesus was delivered up according to the will of his Father. That his suffering, crucifixion, and death was according to the will, the plan, the desire of his Father. Why would the Father desire his Son to go through such humiliation, such suffering, such pain? Because it was only in his suffering, in the suffering of the Son, that the complete sacrifice would be offered. Propitiation would be received. Satisfaction would be made. Jesus submitted to his father's will, and that included the will of his father for his suffering. In fact, as we read in John 19, verse 28, we focused on this last week. Jesus, knowing, verse 28 says, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Jesus comes to the end of his earthly ministry, and he knows that all is now completed. And this is fascinating if you think of everything that needed to be accomplished. Did you know that there are over 300 direct prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the person, work, ministry, and accomplishments of Jesus Christ? 300 direct prophecies in the Old Testament. And Jesus can say at the end of his ministry, I know it needs to be done, and it's done. From everything to the place of his birth, to the place of his death, to the manner of his death, how he must obey, how he must suffer, even the drink that he would receive while hanging on the cross, even what he would say, the words he would say while hanging on the cross, from his lineage, what line he would be born from, to the place in which his body would be laid after death. Jesus Christ came to fulfill, came to accomplish, came to carry out the will of his Father in heaven, to accomplish all that his Father desired for him to do. Now, you and I can sometimes get in trouble when we forget what we're supposed to do. You ever had that sick feeling when you walk into a room and you get there and you're like, why did I come here? What was the point? I've forgotten my reason for being here. Well, Jesus never, never forgot the reason he came. And before we get into our second point, we'll just take a moment to apply this truth to our own hearts and lives. Jesus never forgot why he was here. He never forgot that his calling as the Son of the Father is to obey his Father and to carry out his Father's will, which is bringing glory to his Father. The singular focus in Jesus' life is obedience, which brings glory to his Heavenly Father. That singular focus applies to us as members of God's people. So if I were to ask you, what is the purpose of your life? It shares a common theme with Jesus Christ. Now, to be abundantly clear, Jesus was called to be the perfect sacrifice that would offer his life for the shedding of his blood, the Passover lamb. That aspect does not apply, but we too are called to be an offering, to sacrifice ourselves, to be a living sacrifice of praise. So if I were to ask you, what is the purpose of your life? Do you know why you are here? Having been purchased by the blood of the lamb, you have been ransomed and redeemed, purchased, set aside, sanctified. Do you know why you're here? What is the point of your life? Is it to amass wealth, riches, to gain honor and glory for yourself? To have the least amount of pain and the most amount of pleasure? Is that really the point of your life? May we never forget why the Lord leaves us here on this earth. To be salt and light, to obey the will of our Father in heaven, and to bring glory to our God, just as Jesus Christ did. Well, now that we understand the singular focus of Jesus Christ, that he came to obey and to carry out his Father's will, In our second point, we focus in, we narrow our focus here on these words of Jesus Christ in John 19, verse 30, where we read, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. As we saw last week with the final words of Jesus Christ, "I thirst," which is actually one word in the Greek, here also, the word "it is finished" is only one word in the Greek, and that word is tetelestai. It's built on the word telos. Now, the word telos simply means completion. It means arriving at your destination. It means an end, fulfillment. When some event is brought to its telos, that means that what has been accomplished has been fulfilled. It's at a conclusion. It's at an end. We could say when something is brought to its telos, you would say a job well done. Mission accomplished. You're at the telos. You're at the end. Your focus, your race has been brought to the finish line. Those who are running a marathon could arrive at the destination and say, telos, I finished, finish line, it's done. It is a word of asserting something. Now here, we sometimes read the words of Scripture without understanding how they were said. To telostai, it is finished, was not a sigh of defeat. It was a shout, a loud word from the cross. It was a forceful affirmation. It is finished. I have done it. I have accomplished it. I have arrived. Jesus is saying, Heavenly Father, mission accomplished. Why you sent me here, I have done it. It's a celebration. Now this brings to a very important question to our mind. What is the it? If it is finished, what is the it? If his race is finished, what's the destination? If his battle is over, who is he battling against? We're going to find four aspects, four different areas of focus. The first way in which Jesus has completed all things, fulfilled all things, is his bringing to a close the ceremonial law. We sang that earlier with one of the psalms that we sang. This is that was 339. It talks about the ceremonial aspect of the law being completed. That means that Jesus Christ, at the end of his earthly ministry, brings to an end the rites and rituals, the washing, the shadows, the sacrifices, the altars, the basins, the clean and unclean things, the temple, the tabernacle. They all find their completion in Jesus Christ. And when perfection comes, the imperfect pass away. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Jesus is saying the Old Testament rites, rituals, foreshadowing that was pointing to the one sacrifice have now been completed. It's done. The blood of bulls and goats would never take away sins. But when the perfect sacrifice comes, when the blood of the Passover lamb was shed, the blood of bulls and goats are no longer needed. Our own Belgic Confession, Article 25, puts it this way. Their ceremonies and symbols of the law have ended with the coming of Christ, and all that foreshadowing has come to an end. When Jesus died on the cross, what happened to that curtain? It was torn in two. The way that was blocked has now been opened. Their use, Belgian Confession Article 25 continues, their use is to be abolished because their substance has been fulfilled in Christ. So the ceremonial aspect of the law has been brought to a completion when Jesus said, "It is finished." And the Jewish people had to learn that lesson. Don't go back to the temple. Don't go back to killing different bulls and rams and sheep. It's done. It's completed. It's finished. The second area which Jesus has completed all that is necessary is he is completing his work of humiliation, of his suffering. All that was necessary for mankind to suffer as a sinner, every pain that is a consequence of the curse of the law, cursed is the one who doesn't keep all that's written in the law of God, every aspect of that payment has been completed. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, was stepping down. He was descending the steps of humiliation. Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. It was his descent into hell. But when Jesus says, "It is finished," there's no further depth to go. He has plumbed the depths. Hell has been placed upon him. The storm has been spent. And it is finished. A few weeks back, we considered that Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus is no longer forsaken. Because the next time he speaks to his Father. And he commits his soul into the hands of his Father. Jesus' suffering was completed. 1 Peter 3, verse 18, he suffered once for all. After the cross comes the crown. Hebrews 9, verse 25 puts it this way. Jesus did not need to offer himself repeatedly, or else he would have had to suffer again and again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, this is Hebrews 9, he suffered once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So what was necessary to satisfy the justice of God, what you and I deserve because we sin in body and in soul, has been suffered by Jesus on the cross in body and in soul. So when Jesus says it is finished, he is saying the payment that was necessary, the suffering that is the consequence of sin, has been poured upon me. I've drunk from the cup of God's wrath and I've emptied that cup. No other payment, no other suffering is necessary. That brings us to the third point, which is this. By his suffering, he purchased our complete salvation. All that was necessary has been here accomplished by Jesus Christ. From everything to our justification, to our sanctification, to our adoption, to our glorification, every aspect of our salvation has been here purchased and provided. When Jesus said, when he shouted on the cross, "It is finished," what we should hear is Jesus saying to us, "I have died for your forgiveness. You do not need to suffer for your sins. I have done that. I have finished that." Salvation is a gift that has been purchased. It has been already attained. There is therefore now no condemnation. Salvation is a gift freely given to you by the grace of God. You don't need to purchase it. You can't purchase it because it has been completed. Jesus said, "It is finished. I've done the work." And in this, brother and sister, is the fountain of all comfort, hope, peace, assurance. All that was necessary has been here provided. The whole point of the cross, in fact, the whole point of incarnation, was finished. Jesus said, "The reason I have come," which was to save the church, to reveal the will, to purchase the salvation of my people, has been done. He could even say this to his heavenly Father, "The work you called me to do, it is finished." But there's one more aspect, the fourth aspect. The work that Jesus finished was his victory in his battle against evil, darkness, sin, and Satan. Where Satan once fancied himself as the ruler of this world and led the nations into bondage, Revelation 20 says that Satan will no longer deceive the nations. Satan has been knocked off his throne. The gospel is now going forth. The spirit of liberty and life is now changing the hearts of people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. Jesus could say to Satan, "Your hold on this world is finished. My church is going to go out and it's going to spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth." Hebrews 2 verse 14 puts it this way, "Jesus destroyed him who had power, the power of death, by suffering death in his own body." Jesus destroys the devil's hold on man and the devil's power over man because the devil, Satan, the accuser, was holding sin as a weapon against mankind to accuse us. "Look at your sin," Satan would say. "Look at what you have done. You do not deserve God's grace. You cannot go to heaven. Look at what you did." That was Satan's power. And now Jesus deals with that, satisfies the payment that was necessary, and he breaks Satan's bondage and Satan's hold. Sin no longer is the stronger. God's people are not enslaved to the old man anymore. All of these blessings belong to God's people because Jesus said, "It is finished." On the cross, Jesus makes his love for his people evident, his submission to his Father's will. Complete atonement and sacrifice has been offered, and Jesus says, "It is finished. I've run the race. I've arrived at the finish line. I've engaged in battle, and I have trampled Satan's head. And now there is stored up for me the glory and honor that I have been promised." Because Jesus said, "It is finished," we are not left hopeless. We are given wonderful words of comfort and assurance. Because Jesus did it. Why he was sent, he finished that work. And he said, "It is done." To conclude, words have powerful meaning. And in fact, sometimes just one word makes all the difference. When a young lady is asked, "Will you marry me?" that one word makes all the difference, doesn't it? Say yes? Does she say no? When standing before a judge, words make a difference. You're either guilty or you're not guilty. When Jesus comes to the end of his earthly ministry, what does he say? Does he say, "Mission accomplished, it is finished, telos, I've arrived"? Or does he say, "I didn't get it done. I left it unaccomplished. I'm not finished. I have more suffering to do because I didn't suffer enough"? Is that what he says? Oh no. When we come to the end of Jesus' ministry, we ask Jesus, Jesus, did you do what was necessary? Did you accomplish your Father's will? Did you perfectly obey your Father's commandments? Did you gain salvation for us all? Did you deliver us from sin, death, and hell? Is your suffering and your sacrifice complete so that the ceremonies are now accomplished and that no more shedding of blood is necessary? Jesus, did you do this? And Jesus says, it is finished. It is finished. Today on Palm Sunday, we remember and we believe that Jesus triumphed over sin, death, Satan, and hell. The battle has been won. The victory secured. Jesus has conquered. He's completed all aspects of his earthly ministry for the sake of our comfort and our salvation. Praise God that Jesus has finished. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this comforting word that Jesus Christ has accomplished what was necessary for the complete forgiveness of all our sins, that we might now be called children of God, ransomed and redeemed because Jesus finished his work of suffering and humiliation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We thank you for this promise. We thank you for the sufficiency of Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.